that you're here. I'm Randy Davis. I am one of the pastors at Quail Springs Baptist Church in Oklahoma City. I've been there over 10 and a half years. God called me there, and my wife and family, as the single adult pastor, and I've been involved in single adult ministry for many years. And then the church has grown, and we've transitioned titles. I still umbrella the single adult ministry, but I also now take on the adult ministry, those that I affectionately refer to as the Oreo group, meaning I'm the meeting adult pastor. So we have young adults, and we have senior adults, and we're the best in the middle, okay? That good old juicy stuff in the middle of an Oreo cookie. Amen, amen that one?
Amen.
Got that one? Okay. So I'm the meeting adult pastor, 40 to 64, and so that's who I am. Been married over 26 years to a wonderful wife named Amy, and God gave us three incredible boys. So we're very blessed. Had a couple in here a while ago that I just naturally was drawn to because they graduated from the great University of Oklahoma. Okay, so we had some little good connection, fellowship there and ties. But two of my boys go to school there currently, have a senior and a sophomore. And then my other son, my oldest son, graduated from Oklahoma State. And he was kind of a defector, but he still has OU stuff in his room, and the OSU golf coach, he's recruited there to play golf and played there 4 years, and he never could understand how Ian would go to OSU being an OU fan, but it worked out fine. So, and the only reason I was able to wear orange for 4 years, okay, being a diehard sooner born, sooner bred, when I die, I'll be sooner dead. The only reason I could wear orange is because, remember, the two primary colors that make up orange are yellow and red. So that's how I could wear orange, okay? And so I wore it proudly. Let me pray for us, and then let me say this before we pray. I want to make sure, because I have some talking points. As I said in the last class, and I hope I'll say it again in the next class, there's nothing worse than having a something on your back that you cannot reach, an itch that you cannot get to, but you use a door frame that I use occasionally. Meaning, I want to scratch you where you're itching. You're here, obviously, for maybe the topic, the title, or my good looks, or whatever you heard about me, okay? I know it's not that one. I want to make sure that I scratch where you itch. Maybe there's a certain thing that you're dealing with. Maybe there's a certain thing that you need answers to. And if I can't answer that, then someone smarter in here that can help us do that, okay? Does that make sense? Because I just don't want to come in here and spout off something that doesn't even affect you or apply to you. I want to make sure that this is worth your time. I do not know all the answers, but I have experienced a lot of things. Okay? Cool? All right, let's pray. Father, we're grateful for your incredible love. Thank you, Father, for our time tonight. Thank you for meeting with us. Thank you that the Holy Spirit resides in us and that you desire, Father, that we be your people, that we be used by you to touch people's lives and to help them move one step closer to God in our leadership efforts here as Life Bible Study Group people. Father, we love you. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Round two. Here we go. This is about everyone make a difference, how to move Life Bible Study members from a taker to a giver. So I have some assumptions here. I'm going to assume that you're experiencing this within your Life Bible Study group, that you have some people currently in their walk, in their journey, that are takers. Okay? We have all kinds of people in our groups, right? We have all kinds of people that are various stages in our groups, right? Some are feeding off milk of God's word, which is awesome. Some are, you know, at the oatmeal stage, okay? And remember, people ask me, do I like oatmeal? Well, I've had it. It's okay, all right? But I'm going to wait until I really need it. And when I think I really need it, it's when I don't have teeth. That's the only reason I'm going to start eating oatmeal, okay? When you just can just wash them and then swallow it. Because you don't have to have teeth eating oatmeal, am I right? Come on, work with me, Ms. Boston, okay? Okay, sorry, bad visual. My point is, we have people at every stage of life that we're dealing with, right? Can you imagine Jesus? You know, reading the stories of Jesus, he had a group of people. You know, he wanted to call God and say, God, you planted, you dropped me here in this place, and look what you gave me to work with. And he calls the 12 out. You think you have problems or have problems in your life, Bible study group of various people that come. Think about what Jesus had to deal with, okay? But the same people that Jesus dealt with are the same people that are in this room. It's us. Okay? I'm sure we have no doubters in here. No Thomases. Right? I'm sure we have some encouragers, Barnabases. Right? And we have some people that are numbers, tax people. Right? Everything's got to add up. Okay? So we all deal with all kinds of people. So, let me ask you this. When we talk about this title, everyone makes a difference. Do you believe that? Do you believe it to the good and to the not so good? Okay. We all make a difference. We all make a difference for the kingdom. Hopefully it's all for the positive, to the good. And then sometimes it's not when we mess up, right? Now, if I repeat myself, in this class, it's only because it's just a deja vu moment, okay? So just count it as that, all right? And now I know my pastor preaches 4 times on Sunday mornings, and I don't know how he does it, but, and so my 3 talks are 3 different talks, and Miss Boston over here is a returnee, or she didn't even move from her seat, so... if you hear the same story, just laugh as if you've never heard it before, okay? Okay. Now, I'm sure you've heard of this, but let me say it to you, and it's an epidemic in our churches, okay? This is serious. This is really serious, and I'm being serious. I'm not getting ready to throw a joke on you. As a pastor, as one of our pastors at Quail Springs Baptist, and as a believer in the body of Christ, what I'm getting ready to share with you is a statistic that is an epidemic in our churches. And I think you're here to help remedy this percentage and this tragedy here. You ready? 20% of the people do 80% of the work in the churches. Some of you are affirming that, right? And that's why you're here. You're going, okay, I know that. Now help, right? Tell us something. Well, we want to encourage people who probably, wherever they are in their stage of life, have come in. Let's just say we know we have takers, right? And all they do is take and take and take. But you were probably there as well at one point. Maybe you're there right now. We all cycle, right? I'm sure most of you are not like me. You're on the mountaintop all the time, right, in your spiritual walk? Right? No? Thank you for your honesty, your transparency there. You know, we're supposed to be reading God's Word every day. Well, guess what? I'm 3 days behind, okay? Okay, so we're all different levels. And guess what? Satan comes in there and just throws in the old knife, guilt, and goes, yeah, look at you. You're a pastor. Well, I'm going to get there, okay? We're at different levels. So we take the people that God gives us, that brings us into our life Bible study groups, we take them where they are, and hopefully move them to where they begin to be givers. Okay? So that's why we're here, that's what we're going to talk about. But we've got to solve this 20-80 rule. And I think I have some opportunities for us, all right? Now, let's read Ephesians 2:10. Whether you've got this copy or one of those electronic gizmos, you know, Ephesians 2:10. How many got the smartphones out there? Everybody?
It'd be fine.
Ephesians 2:10. All right. Paul said to the church in Ephesus, he says this, For we are God's handiwork. I'm reading out of the NIV. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do what?
To do good works.
To do good works. Which God prepared in advance for us to do. All right? Do you believe that? Do you believe that for every believer? That we are here to do good works. Right? And we are here to help the body to become healthy. We could look at passages of scriptures where the Bible talks about the gifts of the Spirit. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4. Did I say Romans 12?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so think of our body. And if you've heard the old saying, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. Okay. One of the things that I do that I didn't mention in the other class is one of my hobbies, and it's a sick hobby. It's a sick hobby. It's really bad. You're going to feel so sorry for me when I say this, but I love it. I love this hobby. I love it because I love what I get to do, but it's a sick hobby. You ready? I am a high school basketball official in the great state of Oklahoma. Okay? And to some churches I've worked in, there's not much difference. Okay? Not at Quail and not at Village, okay, but other places. You know, you get yelled at, you know, all this kind of stuff. But I love it, okay? And we're running our legs to death because there's not enough of us. And, you know, there just isn't. So I feel the 20-80 principle, and I'm always trying to recruit younger guys. Well, I get a younger guy to run with me and go with me. He can't handle abuse, you know. And now we take care of it. We can toss people. We do it in a right way. We go to the administration. That person over there said this. Toss them, and they normally we give them warning. But church work shouldn't be like that. We should be a Barnabas and encourage everyone, right? So my encouragement here is that we encourage one another. We encourage the people to work. So the body of God has got to be working together. Okay? Here's my point of that reference story. One night I came home. I was so tired, and I'd already showered at the gym and got home. I got in my chair, and my wife, Amy, leaves, and I didn't know she left because I was already asleep. I fell asleep for about 30 minutes. And it was a hard sleep. You ever been there?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I woke up. Man, I can't move. I thought, oh, my goodness, rigor mortis has already said it. I'm still alive. I looked around like, where's Amy? Because it's just Amy and I right now, okay? Our three boys are, like I said, two's in college, one's married, and Ian, my oldest, is playing golf around the world. And I'm like, there's no one here to help me out of my chair. Okay? My point is, if you don't use the body, rigor mortis sets in. So we got to move people from being takers to givers. And the body of Christ talks about, well, I'm the hand, but I'm not an ear, so I'm no use. No, everyone's useful. Got it? Everyone is useful. And I'll tell you, cold baths are overrated. Okay, I'll just tell you that right now. That's not fun. Jumping in a cold tub of water is not fun, okay? A hot bath did me wonders, okay? That's why I'm being able to stand up here. All right, here we go. Fill in the blank. Four principles of relational ministry. Four principles of relational ministry. Look what Bruce Larson said, and I quoted him there. In the wonderful work of the Message, Peterson says in John 1:14, the Word became, I love how he said this, the Word became flesh and blood, and moved into the neighborhood. All of relational ministry is captured in the incarnation. You agree with that? The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Meaning, when Jesus showed up, it was about relationships. It's about this cross right here. Jesus helps us connect to God, vertical. And Jesus helps us connect with other people. The great commandment. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbors yourself. See it? So, this ministry that we're about is relational. Okay? I believe, I've coined this little phrase, and I know nothing's original. I believe life is all about God, and God is all about relationships. So if you want to take people from where they are, maybe as takers or just people who sit and become rigor mortis sets in, we got to help move them, get them involved. All right? So here we go. Jesus moved in the neighborhood to help us. Number one, don't teach people about Christ or God. Discover Christ with people. You see it? We can stand up here and teach them about God and teach them about Christ, but we need to help them discover Christ with the people. Now, what does this look like? How do you think that plays out right there? When we come alongside with our teaching, when we come alongside with our directing, when we have our life Bible study groups responsibilities, which are what? Tell me some of those, other than director and teacher.
Prayer.
What else?
Outreach.
Intramurals. Yes. That'll get people moving.
Missions.
How about InReach? Care ministry? Have been here for a while? Okay. All right. Let's look at, I want to show you something in Exodus 3. Read this morning. Exodus 3. Let's go there. Now, this is not just a single generation specific deal. It's for all generations. Okay? We know boomer generation, baby boomer generation, the millennials, all this kind of stuff. And so many people put so many different things on that, different cliches and all this kind of stuff. Hey, it's all about people. And yeah, we think different. Okay? You might think I think different because I look different. All right? But listen, watch this. We want to help people. We want to help people discover God with us. All right, let's read Exodus 3. Story of Moses and the burning bush. Now, think about how we're going to do this, help people discover Christ out of the scriptures. So I want you to think about when we read this, think about some key words that come to mind. And I'll kind of prompt this. So now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to a far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Okay? Get the scene? How are we going to help people discover Christ through this story? Anybody seen a burning bush?
Not recently.
Not recently. Thank you for your honesty. Okay? Put yourself in Moses' seat. Put yourself in his sandals. What do you think he's thinking? There you go, Cynthia. Let's just get real. What in the heck is going on here?
Gotta take off your shoes.
Yes. And God tells him that. We know that. So read ahead. Okay?
It's already up here. Sorry.
I get it. It's all right. See, everyone's a different level. All right? I love it. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire within the bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. All right? Does that do anything for anybody? Can you say wow? Can you say that backwards? Wow. Remember, I'm in the Forrest Gump of ministry, okay? Those things come easy to me.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Hey, she got it.
I'm a teacher, fourth grader. I'll take that to my students.
You ain't have to give me credit for it. All right? Helping people discover Christ. Not just teaching about it. Walking through that. All right? So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush is not burned up. Would you not do that as well? What word comes to mind there?
Curiosity.
Okay? I think I would like to see that. Wouldn't you? Get a little closer here. This is amazing. This is awesome. All right, so we're building this up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses, Cynthia, Jeff, Brett. Did God not get personal with him? God gets personal with us, doesn't he? You see how we help people move from becoming a taker to a giver, to say, look, the God of Scripture, the Christ of Scripture, God gets personal with you. At the stage that you're at, whatever stage, you might be a brand new Christian, you might be a seasoned vet. If I saw that tonight, I'd go over, and God got personal with him. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off the sandals, for the place you're staying is holy ground. Wow. Anybody ever been at that spot? Have you had holy moments in your life that you knew? This is a God moment. Take people where they are. Walk with them and introduce them to Christ. Help them to discover who God is and how God wants to be intimately involved in their life. And help them to realize that God has more for them to be a part of than just a taker. God intimately walks with us. He wants to get involved. So he says, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. After this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Anybody relate? I'm not going to name any names, but I think you'll probably identify with this story. We have people on television. We have people on radio. We have faith healers. We have all kinds of people. And if you've ever noticed, most of the time, if they heal people, they think they heal people. I remember Oral Roberts in his heyday. When he heals people, he would heal them. And which way would they fall? Backwards. Okay? When you read Scripture and you read it intimately, when people get encountered with God, they don't fall backwards. They fall face down. You and I would do the same. We're going to fall face down. And we're going to worship him because we realize who we're standing in front of. So remember, we're moving people from being takers to givers, and we'll get there. Now, for time's sake, you know the rest of the story. You know that Moses gives excuses. God answers them, right? Now look at chapter 4. Moses answered about going to the people in the children of Israel and they go to Egypt. He says, what if they don't believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? Then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? He said, a staff. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. You know the rest of the story. So Moses goes through excuses. And I'm glad to know that I'm a part of folks in here that have never given God an excuse. Okay? I feel right at home. I appreciate that. We're one with each other. We feel tight here. Help people discover who God is and Jesus Christ as we journey with people. Okay? God called me to ministry when I was 16 from Yukon, Oklahoma, just west of Oklahoma City. Okay? Listen. I really believe this. I am the Forrest Gump of ministers and pastors because if God can use me, he can use anybody. This acronym is somewhat true of my life. I want to become a fat Christian. Now, I am fat kind of physically, okay? Fat, faithful, available, and teachable. That's what I want to be, and that's what I've laid myself out for God to use. Faithful, available, and teachable. Now, I'm healthy. I run a lot, okay? I stay in shape, because round's a shape, okay? Okay? Any carpenters in here? Anybody use carpentry stuff? Anybody use a leveler? Okay, get going. When do you know that it's level?
When the bubble's in the middle.
There you go. See, I'm level, all right? Right here, the bubble's in the middle. I don't know. That doesn't have anything to do with the lesson. Okay. Get back to here we are. Walking with people, helping people discover God and Christ with people. Number two, people support that which they create, help create. People support that which they help create. Okay? All right, we're getting there. Would you rather be a part of something being told what to do, how to do it from a distance, or would you like to be involved in getting your hands dirty in the project? Okay? Taking people where they are. So they come into Life Bible Study groups. Some of them are raw. Some have been relationships have already been built. They're growing with that person. They've come with your Life Bible Study member. You get to meet them for the first time, and it's their friend from work, or they met at the workout gym or wherever, and that person's raw. All right? So now we as Life Bible Study leaders, we're to help that our people to develop and create, help do life with, right? So we're helping them get involved in the process. So which would you rather do? Would you rather hear about how to do it, or would you rather get your hands dirty? Get your hands dirty, most of us, right? And it's okay to do the other, because we're all at different stages. Now, I survived this experience, and I'm only talking about this because about getting our hands dirty. When my lovely wife and I got married 26 years ago, she wasn't a kitchen person, meaning she didn't really know how to cook. And these two came from my church in Oklahoma, so you're blessed to have Jeff and Amy here. So hopefully the story won't get back, but she's heard. I came home from work one day, and she's all excited. She made some muffins. I said, oh, that's cool. So we sat down and had some muffins. Well, as eating the muffins, there was something very crunchy. And I said, did you put nuts in here? She goes, no, I didn't put any nuts in there. I said, well, I wonder what's crunchy. She said, well, I kind of taste that crunchiness too. I said, well, let's look at the recipe. So she got the recipe out, and it said this and this and this, and then it said egg whites. And I said, what'd you do with that? She said, well, I cracked the egg open, poured out the contents, and took the egg white, the shell, and ground it up, and mixed it in the muffin mix. Okay? I said, honey. Now, I was a bachelor for 28 years. I was single for 28 years, almost 29. I had to learn to cook to survive, right? And I've done a pretty good job. I'm healthy, I'm round, I'm in shape. The point is, she got her hands in it. I would rather you get your hands in it and walk with people, journey with people, do life with people. It's hard work. Listen, when I got called to ministry, when I surrendered and gave my life to ministry, I didn't have one gray hair on my head at 16. Look what ministry's done to me, okay? At least it hadn't turned loose. It's turned gray, but it hadn't turned loose yet. Ministry's tough. And you know that as leaders, right? But you also know the joy of seeing people taking one step closer to God, one step closer to God, one step closer to God. And listen, ready for this? God did it through you. God used you to do that for His glory. All right, for you to reflect that, deflect that, just put it back to Him. God did that through you. That's exciting. All right, now, help people support that which they create. Now, one way of starting a group is for people to do whatever they want to do, to get involved, and they say, hey, we're going to start a new class for young adults, and it's going to be this time, and we hope people come. How successful do you think that will be? Okay? And if you know Don Mutton, if you know Ben Pritchett, those guys are phenomenal at starting new groups. Right? Okay? But have you felt the resistance of people who wants to start new groups when this room is full and packed? You felt the resistance going, oh, the old Baptist negative word from the devil is we're going to split our class? Multiply, yes. The guy that used to be here or had come before, Topper Reed, he taught me, and all you women who had babies before, birth a new class. Okay? It's painful, isn't it, ladies, to birth a baby? It's painful to birth a new class. But you do it when you say, hey, we're going to create a new class for this gender, for this age group, for this stage of life, and we need your help to come in. So you help people create that new class. because there's people by that time that are ready to participate and do ministry with you. You got to multiply yourself. Why is 20% of the people doing 80% of the work? It's because we don't multiply ourselves. Jesus said, make what? Disciples. Okay? That disciple could be a teacher. So teachers in here, if you need to be out of Sunday, find someone within that class to teach for you. Give them a shot. Help them, walk them, teach them through. Help them to do that. Directors, if you need someone to come alongside of you to do that. Okay? You get it? Involve people in every part of the process, from conception to execution. Now, here's the difference, is the focus of power. And the word here, power, is to empower people to live out their calling. To live out their calling. Help people live out their calling. So what does that look like? That's you as a Bible study leader, walking with your flock, learning who they are, understanding how God made them, helping them discover who they are, helping them to discover their spiritual giftedness, right? Helping them to take on their shape, helping them to understand who their what their personality is like, okay? And I love the fact that when you take all that together, you form a team, all right? More things can be done with the team. You look at Jesus' ministry about relational ministry, that's what he did, right? Remember we joked about that? God, I got these 12. You know, I know I can do miracles. It's going to take a lot with this group. You journey with people. You walk with people. You help them to discover who they are in Christ through their spiritual gifts. Okay, some love to be standing in front. Some folks get scared to death. They can't even get a word out in front of people. So you put them behind the scenes. You help people develop teams by way of personalities. And remember, I'm Forrest Gump here, okay? When Gary Smalley finally put the four personality groups in animal forms, I got it. Okay? Some are described as a sanguine and phlegmatic and what are the other two?
Forrest Littauer.
Huh?
That's Forrest Littauer stuff.
Yeah.
Sanguine, well, choleric, melancholy, phlegmatic, and...
Well, the short of it is sanguine. It sounds like diseases. Yeah. Okay. But Smalley was smart enough, and he was thinking of me. Okay, let's put him in as a lion, a beaver, an otter, and a golden retriever. Okay? So that's how you take people who are takers and move them to become givers. You discover who they are. And it's easy to do. Okay? Kind of easy. You plan a fellowship, and the fellowship is going to have this amount of food, this kind of food, hamburgers. Okay? So you got the lion leading and roaring, saying, this is what we're going to do. And then you have the beavers saying, okay, what do you need? What do you need? And tell me what you need. Okay, you want hamburgers? Okay, we got hamburgers. What do you got? Hamburgers, buns, mayonnaise, mustard, yes. And the beavers are all, you know, collectors. They're writing it all down, okay? Now, what you don't want to have happen is you don't want the otters to get a hold of the beavers list and say, okay, I'm a beaver and I'm giving you an otter the responsibility. We're having hamburgers? You're bringing all the hamburger meat. The otter will probably not get hamburger meat there at the party because all I remember is, we're having a party! Okay? So that's how you move people from takers to givers. You give them responsibility. You give them ownership. You give them empowerment. And then you have to have the golden retrievers come alongside, because when a beaver and a lion get a hold of an otter for not doing their job, which they were not equipped to do, you got to have a golden retriever come right alongside them and say, it's okay, you know, I've got friends that are beavers that'll go buy it, it's all right, they didn't mean what they said, kind of, sort of, okay,
no,
so it's
true.
Team ministry, okay, mm-hmm. So it's understanding your flock, Did Jesus understand what he got when he called those 12 guys? He knew them. He knew, I mean, he's God. He knew what he was getting himself into. Listen, watch this. Did Jesus know what he was getting when he saved you? Yeah. But did Jesus know what he was getting when he implanted his Holy Spirit into you and changed you and made you a new creation, new creature? And each of us have a calling. The old I get paid to do nothing. That's what the old saying was. I've earned this gray hair, believe me. Every member is a minister. Okay? Rick Warren says, every member is a minister. Now, some of you might have day jobs and you make money and you do your thing. I do the same, but every one of us are ministers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you work with your team that God's given you. Okay? Your flock. You got to know them. How do you get to know them? Well, we talked about in the last session about how to have socials. The good Baptist word, fellowships. Okay? Or are we trying to boil that down to power of the party, right? Have parties. Get to know one another. Okay? Because I said last hour, people come to Sunday school, probably have all their Jesus answers ready to go. Okay? And they look like Jesus, and they talk like Jesus, they act like Jesus. But then when they go out into the world, it doesn't happen that way. But we want those people in. But why? Because they need Jesus. My point is, sometimes when we come in here, we're not real. That's why you have the power of the party. You go have fun. You go eat. You go bowl. You go have game night. All those types of things, it all works together. So that's how you move people from being a taker to a giver. Number three, goes right along with what we're saying here. Don't give ministry jobs to people. Instead, help people discover their calling. Their calling. I'll say a rule. I don't know what the standard is here. Former church I was in, well, not that we were desperate, but we wanted everybody to get involved in ministry. So we would take a Sunday school member only who was outgoing, bubbly, loved to meet people, stick him right at that door and say, "Welcome to our class." They didn't hurt anything. All right? They might not be right theologically, but they were right on by welcoming people. See, you got a beautiful smile. I would come into the class. Yeah, what you? Yeah, you. Both of you. Okay? I would welcome that, okay? Yes, I would come in and have a guy right beside him that's awesome and welcoming. Give the ministry away. Empower people to do works of ministry. That's what Jesus did, right? That's the example he gave for us. Called the 12, and what the 12 do? Wouldn't change the world. So how we move people from a taker to a giver, we empower them to do works of ministry. You find out what they enjoy doing. Okay? It's just helping, just empowering people. Does that make sense? You with me? Okay. Don't do everything for them. Help them discover who they are. I don't know about you, but when God empowered me to do something and I do it, I make him happy and I feel really good about myself. I believe there's people in your classroom, in your class, in your network that are waiting to be asked. But don't just ask them and leave them with the task. Ask them and join with them and do discipleship with them, walk with them, journey with them. Okay? Now, number four, church is for everyone. Do you believe that? Did Christ die for everyone? Absolutely. And we're part of that. We need to be a part of that change agent. Now, when it says everyone, Christ died for every generation as well. And I love church because it crosses generational lines. I'm waiting for the church, and I would pray that it would be mine. I pray it would be yours. Where we already have this cross-section of generational lines. I don't know about you young ones in here. And I know this is a little touchy, but I'm just going to say it to you. You just got away from mom and dad maybe, okay? Okay, been away from them for several years. And they become a little smarter. Have you noticed the older you get as a young person? Uh-huh. Okay, they do. Okay, I was there one time. Remember all of us old geezers in here? Or some maybe little... You remember dad and mom was dumb as rocks? Okay. Well, that became a reality when I realized when my dad sent me off to college one Sunday afternoon and says, "Be careful, don't drive fast." Well, before I got to college that evening, I was seeing red and blue lights in my mirror. I thought, man, something's wrong. There's a policeman. I got pulled over for speeding. Dad was right and wise. Was I smart? No. Did I do a dumb thing? Yes. So my point is, we within the church have an opportunity to rub shoulders with people of different generations. I believe the Bible says to seek wisdom. There's wisdom in abundance of what? Counselors. And we would be foolish not to take advantage of that opportunity to help people move from being a taker to a giver, because it works both ways. Think about your senior adult ministry. People really are on the last days and years of their life. And you are as well, but you just know when you're going to go out. We're on that boat. But to rub shoulders with, let's say you young ladies, rub shoulders with a grandma figure and say, you know, be like my wife Amy. I don't know how to cook. Could you help me? I don't even know what an egg white is. Okay? And this lady has more recipes in her brain than you will ever cook in your lifetime. Would you mind taking me and a friend of mine under your wing? I'd like to cook. I'd like to know how to cook. All right?
Mentoring,
yeah. Or you guys that know how to fix things. I only know how to break things. That's my job at my house. You know, I break things. So I have to have people within my church who know how to fix things. It all works. Cycles. So we move people from being a taker to a giver. Now, look at this quote. Christians are not meant to take the place of the Holy Spirit and become super detectives, ferreting out people's sins and weaknesses and underscoring them. When we employ this kind of strategy, it is no wonder people fail to discover the grace of God in and through us. Our task as Christians is far easier, more exciting, and more rewarding than that. It is to live out a style of life that will allow people to discover their worth, their strength, and their uniqueness, and to communicate how God intends to do with them and for them. By Bruce Larson. So, I think the example here is what the example we see in Scripture of Jesus. Taking a group of 12 people who he thought, oh my goodness, this is what I got to work with, and doing life with them. Walking with them. And I think they turned out pretty good, don't you think? For the most part. Right? You know, we have people in here that, I'm one of them, I dog Peter. Okay, you read Scripture and go, what a guy, you know. And I'm just like him at times. So, who did God choose to preach the first sermon? Peter? And what was his results? First sermon, he'd been a fisherman. First sermon, what did God do? How many? 3,000 to 5,000? Pretty good. I can't say that. There were some other guys in that group that did fairly well. Did some of them God used to maybe write some of the Scripture? Yeah. Huh. There's hope for everyone. It just takes time to journey with people, be relational. So what's on the backside is people-driven model of ministry. This is where I'm going to need your help. And we'll walk through this fairly quickly and we'll get out on time. Because you know your church better than I do. Step one. The step one is attracting. And it doesn't matter what age group you're in. Think about your age group that you do ministry with. And you ask the question, why people come to our ministry? Why do people come? Why would people come to your Life Bible Study group? Why would people come to your events? So you ask why people come. What's attracting them? Some things I wrote down because I know a little bit about your church. Is it welcoming? Is it inviting? Listen, I'm so impressed with what God's doing here with the leadership here. You know, there's no doubt when, I don't know what direction that is. I get lost down here, but whatever entrance that has all the red signs up there, it says something like difference maker. As a guy coming in, I think I know what you're studying. Okay? You see it? And I'm assuming on Sunday morning you have people that help people park, you have people get in the door, you have people find places. Okay, it's welcoming, right? Have you ever been to church where there's nobody at the door? You don't know where to go. You might have kids. You don't know where the nursery is. There's no one there. Well, that's helping people be moving from a taker to a giver. So, is your church welcoming? Yes. Do you have life in your Bible study groups? Because life attracts life. Okay, life attracts life. What are some other things that will attract people that you know of that you could write down and we could all write down about moving people from being a taker to a giver? What's unique about people coming? What are they attracted to here? Say it again.
Greg.
Greg, pastor.
Mm-hmm. Truth-based teaching, which I guess goes along.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Truth-based teaching, right? Yep.
Community.
Yes, community. Okay. Doing life with people. Okay. What else? Anybody here do parties, fellowships, social events? All right. This is for the for the flock here, the leaders. But conferences. I saw in your bulletin there's some ladies are doing something whatever Tuesday night for the next. Wow. Do what?
The table.
Yes, the table. Okay. Hey, if I was a female, that'd be something I think I would come to. And I'm assuming you do men's events, right? So that's people-driven model of ministry. But you got to have it attractive, right? I learned this principle a few years ago. Don Hutton and I lead a group of single adult pastors called Singles Ministers Metro. I happened to be invited to my first one when I was in Oklahoma City at another church. And we went to some dumpy place called the Ritz-Carlton. Anybody ever been to Ritz-Carlton? Okay. If you ever have a chance to go, go. Okay. You talk about how they do service. Their motto is, we are ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen. I had to go to the restroom so bad, it didn't matter who I needed to ask, but it came about a lady. And I said, ma'am, I've got to use the restroom. Where's the nearest restroom? She said, it'd be my pleasure to take you there. Now that's a little embarrassing. No.
Just point the way.
Yes, sir, just point the way. And she goes, I can't. And I said, why can't you? She said, I would be fired. I said, well, let's go. I gotta go, okay? We are ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen. You ever heard of it'd be my pleasure?
Oh, yeah,
Chick-fil-A. I go to Chick-fil-A once a week, and you can tell. Okay? But I go there because I want to be edified by saying, when I say thank you, it's my pleasure. What does that do for you? Builds me up. That's what we're talking about. You have to have something attracting people. And you have it here. Don't take it for granted. You're a part of that. Don't be the link that causes that to fail. There's some pressure. Okay? Be on your best behavior. Let God flow through you. All right? Attracting people. Step two, now involving people, connecting people into the ministry. So we have them coming. What keeps them staying here? Why people stay? Tell me, why do people stay?
Connection.
Okay. With?
Others in their like Bible study or
yeah.
Friends or, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to put these two people on the spot.
They feel cared for.
Okay. Because these two, I cried when they told me that God was moving them to Houston. Jeff and Amy right here. They were in my church. Mm-hmm. Leaders in my ministry. I'm a little bitter and bad about God, but I got over it. I even told him, you need to go to Houston's First Baptist. You know why? Because I've been here. I've tasted what God's doing here. Don't take it for granted. Okay? It is unique. Do you know how easily a bird can be scared away? And the Holy Spirit is represented by what? A dove? So don't take it for granted. Be on your face. Be grateful, thankful that God called Pastor Greg here and God called the staff here that you have. okay? That's why people stay, those components. Your life Bible study groups, people care about one another. Caring friends. How about this? Spiritual growth. Are you growing spiritually? Hopefully you are, okay? What else? What are some other reasons why people stay?
They're serving a long time.
Yes. See, everybody, three people that you need in your life. Everyone in here needs a Paul. You need someone who's your mentor. Someone who's pouring into you. Someone you meet with often. And you're authentic to them, you're real. And they say, how was your week? And you say, it was awful. Well, what was awful about it? Well, I did this. And they said, yes, you're right. That was bad. That didn't represent Christ. And what are we going to do? Change it. And they hold you accountable. We all need a Timothy in our life. Someone whom we're pouring into. See how that works? We're pouring into. And then someone, we all need a cheerleader, a Barnabas, an encourager. Son of encouragement, right? That's how I get by sometimes. People call me up. How you doing, Randy? Man, I'm having a rough day. What's going on? Tell them. Okay. And so they just encourage me. You know, remember your calling. You know, this is who God called you to do and what God called you to be. That's who we need in our life. Okay? Three people. Find them and be them to other people. All right, step three. Reproducing. Facilitating the maturing process among believers. How do we grow through leadership and development? How do we mature believers? What do you do here to do that?
Study God's Word.
Study God's Word.
Bible study classes.
We call it life enrichment at our place on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. Do y'all have something going on for disciple-making processes here? Okay. Get your life Bible study group involved in that. They have that time and energy to do that. What else?
Accountability.
Accountability. Absolutely.
Prayer.
Yes. Y'all have a prayer ministry here? Prayer room? Okay.
People pray in the, I believe, sit in the well.
They pray underneath the service.
Yeah.
It's powerful.
That is awesome.
Every service.
Not in the notes, but remember this. The power of an ember. Do you know what an ember is? Mm-hmm. Anybody know how to make a fire? I'm not a very good fire maker. I'm not good for much, okay? But I read stories. I read the Google. Okay. My son does a pretty good job. You take pieces of wood and you kind of build them up, okay? And of course you put
kindling
or toilet tissue or whatever that goes up.
No.
Back. Okay, so you put them together, right? Stand them up. Sorry about that.
Visual, never mind.
Visual, yeah. Well, it's not used.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, newspaper, whatever.
Not resourceful.
All right, the power of the ember. Gets it going, and what happens? One falls out, and you watch it. You've seen this before. It dies out, but the others that are still connected are burning hot and burning bright. Okay, so what happens is when people stop being a taker and moving them to a giver, they just leave. They fall out. That's where you need to lovingly call them up and hold them accountable and lovingly say, we miss you. You need us and we need you. Come back, okay? Reproducing. Step four, multiplying. Grow your ministry through multiplication, through outreach. How does this look? You have any service evangelism projects, community outreach projects? What did the single adult ministry do here? Mission
1A.
Yeah, and then something downtown Houston, right? Am I missing something here?
Houston 1A, which is citywide.
Yeah. Yeah.
Churchwide.
Yeah. Okay. You get those people involved and begin to walk with them, disciple with them, and journey with them. See how that works? Multiplying. Mission projects. Mission opportunities. All right. Did that help? Did I scratch where you itched? One of the things it says here, the healthy versus unhealthy life Bible study group. It's simply this. The Bible says in Luke, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Don't ask me what that means. Okay? Give and it will be given. Now watch this. For with the measure that you give, it will be measured unto you. So, if all you do as a life Bible study group is take in, take in, take in, then you become a Dead Sea class. But if only a person takes in and takes in and takes in, they become what I call either the four or the five S's of a Christian. Okay, they get saved, then they learn by observation. They sit, they soak, they sour, they smell, and then they stink. I love a sponge. I know how to work a sponge. Okay? But if a sponge can only take in so much water, and you think, huh, well, that's good for what that did, and you set it aside, and you never wring it out, what happens to that sponge that took in, saved, that sit, soak, sour, smell, and stink? What? Isn't that a beautiful process there? And you come back a couple days later, honey, if you're married, what stinks around the kitchen here? Or if you're a single adult, you're going, what did I leave out or what happened here? Okay? And you discover the sponge. You know how to keep your ministry healthy? Take people from takers to givers, and you wring that sponge out. You help them discover who they are in Christ, their shape, their personality, their giftedness, and say, this is how we're going to grow this class, because we've got to create a new class. We've got to birth a new class, and we need a whole new set of leadership. And we need you to be the greatest door greeter of your entire life. And we need you to take records, and we need you to pour into outreach, and we need you to pray. Squeeze them out. Okay? That's how I believe, and I've seen in my experiences that you move people from takers to givers. Okay? Give and it'll be given to you. For with the measure that you give, it'll be measured unto you. Who wouldn't want to work for the kingdom of God? Anybody in here? Can you think of anybody who doesn't want to? Put that challenge out there in front of them. Don't you want to work for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Don't you be a part of being involved in Him and His ministry, changing people's lives for the glory of God? Do it then. Get them involved. Move them from takers to givers. Okay? That's a little bit of my encouragement to you. I'm blessed to be with you. I'm honored. I can't believe Ben keeps inviting me back. Okay? So I'm a while ago and he goes, how many years have I invited you back? And I said, it's been 4 or 5 and I'm honored. So thank you. Now, go and be blessed, and I appreciate your ministry that God's doing in and through you. Okay? Blessing. I need to give a gift card away for someone that was very attentive and awesome and incredible, and I'm going to give it to Miss Smiley Face right here, that I would love to come to your class. Give her that $100.
Oh, I forgot to carry the two.
Marie Green.
Yeah,
all right, keep that smile going. Everyone, smile before you leave. It's for somebody, okay? All right, blessings. Thank you.
Thank you.
I know, I'm getting here.
Yes, you're right there with me. Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome.
Check out the Developing a Life-Changing Healthy Prayer.
Prayer.